Good morning and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell and I'm your host of this very fast-paced half hour of special topics and special guests designed to help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the entire Washington, D.C. metro area. If you'd like to know more about OFP, visit us on the web at ofplaw.com. And I invite you to subscribe to my blog, blueprintforwealth.org, where I have contents dealing with tax, estate planning, and business planning topics of interest, as well as videos, audios, and written blog content that hopefully is keeping you up to date on all the latest in these areas. And lastly, I invite you to read my Washington Business Journal column every month entitled Blueprint for Wealth on tax, business, and estate planning topics. Now, this week has been a very rough week for investors in the stock market. I mean, only the short sellers are happy about what's been happening in the stock market. It's dropped by hundreds, thousands of points. And with that said, if only the short sellers are happy, then what am I talking about today? I'm going to be telling you about tax strategies for a depressed stock market. So things are somewhat better than you otherwise might imagine, especially if you have an optimistic view of where the stock market is headed. And there's some additional good news that I want to share with you, that the market decline has actually opened up some helpful tax saving opportunities. And when you think about it, reducing your tax bill is just as good as making money in the market in some ways. It's almost better because you won't owe any taxes on the extra dough that you find in your pocket as a result of the tax savings that you've generated from the stock market declines. So let's focus on that a little bit. And here's a short list of some tax saving strategies that might work for you during this period of market decline and uncertainty. Number one, think about revamping your investment portfolio and at the same time trying to cut your tax liability. With all this recent turmoil in the stock markets, it's likely time to think about revamping and rebalancing your portfolio. Now, some people are saying, well, I'm getting out of the stock market altogether. I'm going to liquidate my holdings. I'm going to buy gold. I'm going to, you know, do other things, but I'm not going to reinvest in stocks. So this discussion is really for those of you that really do, for the long haul, intend to remain in the stock market. The silver lining is that bad market performance is that the tax cost of revamping your portfolio is not that bad. So while it's not generally wise to let the tax tail wag the economic dog, to let tax implications drive your investment decisions, you shouldn't ignore them either. So, as you know, and many of you know, the current maximum federal income tax rate on long-term capital gains remains low when you're selling stock and mutual fund shares that are held in taxable brokerage accounts. That rate at the highest level this year in 2011 is 15%. And that's not bad considering recent historical standards. But 0% may be even better. And 0% may be all you'll owe if you see this as a good time to revamp your taxable brokerage account, stock, and equity mutual fund portfolio. Let's assume that revamping your portfolio is going to involve selling some winner stocks, meaning that the value of those stocks is still above what you paid. You might be one of the lucky ones that bought stock when the price was much lower than it is today, even after the significant market downturn. So we'll call those winners. You might also hold a whole bunch of losers, shares that are currently worth less than what you paid for them. As long as the losses from the losers offset the gains from the winners, you're going to owe zero to the IRS as a result of revamping your portfolio. But why stop there? You can continue trimming unwanted loser shares out of your portfolio until you've generated a $3,000 net capital loss for the entire year. Now, many advisors, including tax advisors, recommend that you wait until the end of the year. But you may see this as an opportunity to lock in capital losses at a time when the market may hit historical lows in recent memory. You can deduct that $3,000 taxable capital loss against your income from other sources like salary or self-employment income, or interest or dividends, or even alimony received. If you're married and you file a separate tax return from your spouse, the annual limitation or the annual ability to claim capital losses is reduced to $1,500 versus $3,000 that I was just explaining. The tax-saving strategy of selling unwanted loser shares before year-end is what the Wall Street types call harvesting losses, a very nice way of putting it, particularly in this time of extreme adjustment and uncertainty. Now, once again, why stop there? If your loss harvesting is even more extensive, you can generate a net capital loss that is in excess of that $3,000 limitation. And this can turn out to be a tax blessing later on, since you can actually use that excess loss to shelter capital gains in later years. In other words, if you have losses and you take them by selling the stocks out of your stock market account, and you generate a big capital loss, and you can't use it this year because of the $3,000 limitation, you can carry it forward and shelter those losses against capital gains in future years. The tax shelter provided by your excess loss can give you some great investing flexibility. Why? Because you can use the excess loss to shelter short-term gains from sales later this year or in future years, as well as long-term gains. And you can carry forward that excess loss at the end of the year from 2011 until you have enough gains to use them up. More specifically, to the extent of your excess loss, you don't have to worry about holding on to profitable positions for over 12 months just to get a better tax result. And remember, in order to get long-term capital gain treatment, you have to hold on to the stock or the capital asset for at least 12 months. With your excess losses in hand, you can exit profitable positions anytime you want without triggering any federal income tax bill whatsoever when the tax rates might go up in future years. And please believe me when I say that I believe that tax rates are going to go up one way or another. All in all, owning an excess loss is really quite liberating when you think about it the right way. To be sure, selling a loser stock to generate that excess loss may be psychologically painful, but the welcome feeling of liberation will set in almost immediately thereafter. Here's another idea. Sell your winner shares from your retirement accounts, your IRAs, your 401ks, and sell your loser shares from the taxable accounts. If you happen to be one of the lucky few who's profited from market upticks in recent memory since 2008, although a lot of those gains have been wiped out in recent days, you may not have enough unwanted losers in your taxable brokerage account to fully offset gains from your taxable account. As you adjust your portfolio by selling some winners, you may still be able to avoid or even minimize your tax hit. Do this. Try to sell the winners mainly from your tax-advantaged individual retirement account, or your Roth IRA, or your 401k, or even a variable annuity. Try to sell the losers mainly from your taxable account. That way you can take some profits without necessarily having to pay the IRS for the privilege. In fact, you can generate a net capital loss of up to $3,000 or $1,500 if you're married filing separately, worth of income from other sources, as explained just a few minutes ago. Hey, when you're making a gift, think about giving away your winner shares, but selling your loser shares and then giving away the cash. Let's say you want to make some gifts to a relative who's in need because of the decline in the economy. You can make gifts in conjunction with an overall revamping of your stock portfolio holdings. Let's say you want to make a gift to a relative. Don't give away the loser shares, which are currently worth less than what you paid for them. Instead, sell those shares, take a capital loss, as I just explained, and then give the cash proceeds to your relative. You may want to give away winner shares to relatives. Most likely, they'll pay tax at a lower rate because they just haven't had any income for a while than you would pay if you sold the same shares. In fact, relatives who are in the lowest federal income tax brackets of 10 or 15% pay a 0% federal tax rate on long-term capital gains for stocks that are held over a year. If you give away your stock, they get to use your holding period, and they use your basis as well to figure out what the gain would be on the sale. Now let's turn it around a little bit. Let's say you want to make a gift to charity. Well, it turns out that strategies for gifts to relatives work equally well for gifts to IRS-approved charities. So sell your loser shares, claim the resulting tax-saving capital loss on your income tax return, $3,000 the limit, then give the cash sales proceeds to the charity and claim the resulting write-off as a charitable deduction if you itemize your charitable deductions. So these are some strategies. Lastly, before I run out of time on this segment, think about converting your traditional IRA into a Roth IRA, particularly when the values are down. It'll decrease the income tax consequence to you, and then any future appreciation can be taken out of the Roth IRA without having to pay income tax, provided certain requirements are met. I'm Wayne Zell, and you're listening to Blueprint for Wealth. It's not all bad out there. There are some tax-saving strategies, even in a depressed market. If you'd like more information on these and other strategies, give us a call at Odin, Feldman & Pittleman at 703-218-2100.